So good to see y'all here this morning. Hope each and every one of you are doing well. Just come into the house of the Lord this morning. There's still folks coming in as we get started this morning. We just love each and every one of you. So I'm going to ask you to stand if you will. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer this morning. We're just going to lift Him up and honor Him. And Just give Him all the glory that He so much deserves. Good to see some that we haven't seen in service in a while. Good to have y'all back together. If you're a visitor this morning, show by the raising of your hand. Praise God. All right, I know there's some. That's wonderful. I saw some. Yes, I know. Brother Phillip's back too. I'm excited to see that. He told me the other day that he was working things out, so he's going to get back in church with us. So good to have you back, brother. God. Sister, God bless you. We love each and every one of you. Let's get ready to go to prayer this morning. We want to remember all those that are sick and shut in. Those prayer requests, those text blasts that go out, everything on Facebook. But also remember those that aren't able to be with us. They're either in nursing home, assisted living, in the hospital. There are those going through procedures or preparing for tests right now. And we know God's got it under control. So if you have a prayer request, just show by the raising of your hand this morning. Please, each and every one. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just love you. Lord, we thank you, dear Lord, for your mercy, your love, and your grace. Lord, as we gather together this morning, dear Lord, we want to be in one mind and one accord, dear Lord, ready to receive you. Receive your Holy Spirit, dear Lord, just continue in the message this morning. And, dear Lord, in everything brought forth, dear Lord, we ask that you'll just accept every song sung, every instrument played, every hand that's raised, dear Lord, to worship and honor you. Lord, we just love you. Lord, we thank you for everyone in attendance this morning. Those watching online, we welcome them. And, dear Lord, we just thank you for this, for your holy word that's coming forth this morning. We thank you for powerful Sunday school lessons we had this morning, dear Lord, for each and every one. And, dear Lord, we just honor you. But, dear Lord, we are going to bring those special prayer requests to you now. Lord, we ask you to touch, to mend, to protect, to heal. Lord, strengthen those that have lost loved ones, dear Lord. Strengthen those that are in need. And, dear Lord, we know that you're mighty and all-powerful, dear Lord, and we're placing each and every situation by faith into your mighty hands. Lord, as we pray this morning, dear Lord, it's not just something we do. Lord, it's something we want to honor you. And, dear Lord, we thank you for your many blessings. Lord, we ask you to bless our pastor and his family. Strengthen them as they go about your work. Dear Lord, in each and every ministry that goes forth from our services, Lord, it's a busy time. And, dear Lord, we know that you'll strengthen and guide those that are give us the direction in our hands that we need from you. Lord, again, we just give you all the honor and glory. Dear Lord, we love and praise you. And it's the most powerful name above, the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And everyone says, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God, praise God. It's hard to follow that song they were doing, but this was on my mind this morning, and it's one we haven't done in a while. I'm going to turn to page 306, the old gospel ship. Page 306. Praise God. Anybody got good news to bring? Amen.
Let it
may be seated if you can, or if you can after that. Just want to praise the Lord and just continue to worship Him in our service this morning. We're going to go ahead and take up the morning offering. I do want to remind everybody about Vacation Bible School. It's starting July 10th, which will be here before you know it. Look at how fast this month's going. It's going to be a kickoff that Sunday evening. It'll run through the 13th. I guess it's that Wednesday. And it's going to be a wonderful time, and just hope everyone can make time for it. And also, I think it's this next Saturday, the 18th, at 8 a.m., we're going to have a church cleanup, our annual thing that we do. There'll be plenty to do. We'd love to have every one of you come and join us. Bring some gloves, bring whatever you think you're going to need, and we can knock things out and get it done. And then that afternoon, we'll be free, and the ones that can, we'll go over. And there'll be more information on that on the barbecue and a car show that'll be held over for the Sprague's Church, Brother Sprague's Church. I always say it wrong. Yes, I do. Praise the Lord. Praise God. So we're going to go ahead and take up our morning offering. Well, which Jim? Brother Jim, you go ahead and just lead the morning prayer request this morning. Yes, Lord. Amen.
church is built upon a rock, stand to safe and sound. Get ready, Satan's kingdom's coming down.
Let the church rise up on the army of the Lord, marching in battle in his heart, our body's soul. Deep inside of long enough, go through the power of God we must. Bring Satan's kingdom to the ground and let the church rise up.
Raging all around, but the blood of Jesus on the saints and all tears down. So whenever the Lord rise against us, we don't have to fight alone, cause the mighty church of God is going on.
Let the church rise up like a mighty army of the Lord, marching into battle in his word, our mighty soul. We've been silent long enough, but through the power of God we must. Bring Satan's kingdom to the ground and let the church rise up. Let the church rise up like a mighty army of the Lord, marching into battle with his word, our mighty sword. We've been silent long enough, go through the power of God we must. Bring Satan's kingdom to the ground and let the church rise up.
Want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind, cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break. Declaring there is hope and there is freedom, I speak Jesus.
Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is love. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. I just wanna speak the name of Jesus over fear and anxiety, to every soul held captive by depression. I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every sorrow. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire.
Shout Jesus from the mountains. Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name. Jesus. Oh,
shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like the fire. Your name is power,
your name is power,
your name is healing,
your name is healing.
Your name is life.
You are my life.
Break every stronghold,
break every stronghold,
just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind, 'cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak
Jesus. Can you say amen? Just speak the name of Jesus. There's power in that name. Amen. There's salvation in that name. Sometimes when you can't do anything else, when you feel like all hope is gone, just speak the name Jesus. Amen. It happens so many times, even when we're traveling. Maybe we don't have time to pull over and pray a long prayer because we can't get out from behind the steering wheel. But if we'll just mention the name of Jesus, how many knows that there's protecting power? Do you love Jesus? I just wonder. Is there anybody in the house today that is blessed? I mean really, really blessed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Let's do E flat. How many is thankful for Calvary? Friend, don't worry about this heavy load I carry, and don't be concern if it sends me to my knees. For I know a place where all my load will lighten, and I'll be all right soon as I touch Calvary. If my fever and the flesh could only reach out through the dark, dreary storm of unbelief, if you slip his nail-scarred hands into my hand, then I'll be all right soon as I touch Calvary. Thank God for Calvary. Amen. Very soon now, I'll reach the hill, Golgotha, and I'll touch the cross that was fashioned from a tree. And if one precious drop of his blood touches me, I'll be all right now that I've touched Calvary. And if my feeble hands of faith could only reach out through the dark, dreary storm of unbelief, if he'll slip his nail-scarred hand into my hand, I'll be all right now that I've touched Calvary. Very soon now, I'll reach the hill, Golgotha, touch the cross that was fashioned from a tree. And if one precious drop of his blood touches me, I'll be all right now that I've touched Calvary. Come on, church. Ooh, if these feeble hands of faith could only reach out through the dark, dreary storm of unbelief, they'll start into my hand. I'll be alright now that I've touched Calvary. Slip his nail-scarred hand into my head. We'll be all right now that we've touched Calvary. If you're thankful, give the Lord praise. Hallelujah. God bless you. Amen. If it had not been for Calvary, if it had not been for a man called Jesus, man, where would we be today? So thankful for the mercy and grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So good to see each and every one of you this morning. Our hearts and prayers are that you have a glorious and a wonderful day. Amen. It is so good to know Jesus. Amen. Not just know about him, but to know him intimately. Know him as both Lord and Savior, as that risen Christ, amen, who sent his comforter back. Amen, to lead us and guide us through this turbulent world that you and I live in. How many knows that we're going to be all right? If you have your Bibles, go with us to the book of Ecclesiastes. In the very last chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes, we find the writings here of Solomon. And the Lord laid this on my heart this week as I've been reflecting on the book of Ecclesiastes. It's a wonderful book, a wonderful study guide. It basically goes through life, seemingly step by step, and kind of denotes the things that are important and the things that sometimes we make more important than they really are. Not to keep you standing long, I want to read verses 13 and 14 again from the 12th chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes, beginning with verse number 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, how we love You, how we thank You, God, for Your many blessings, for Your grace, Your mercy, and for this day that You've given us together, Father, we're thankful for each and every one that's entered this building this morning, and we pray Your blessing and Your anointing. God, I ask humbly this morning, God, that You would just use this vessel. Bless these, anoint these lips, God, to speak that You would have us to hear. Father, I pray, God, that the Scripture will reach deep into our soul, God, and provide growth, instruction, Lord, to each and every one here this morning. God, I pray right now for Your holy anointing. We ask in these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Turn to somebody, tell them how much you love them, and you may be seated. That always gets a buzz. Amen. You know, we ought to do that more often. Amen. There's nothing wrong with telling folks how much you love them. This morning, I want to bring a message entitled, Knowing What Matters. Knowing What Matters. It seems like sometimes our priorities get out of whack. I said it seems like we get too many things that seemingly are important to us that we really think about it. That really doesn't mean all that much. We find here, according to a lot of studies and a lot of people that are a lot smarter than me, have formulated that most of these scriptures, if not all of them, were in fact penned or written by King Solomon, David's son. However, there are those that hold to the fact that maybe he didn't record them in a book necessarily, he just had them laying here and there, and then someone later on came by and collected these and formulated them into the book of Ecclesiastes that you and I are so blessed to be able to read. Whichever the fact is, we have the scripture. And most everybody widely agrees that these scriptures were in fact written by King Solomon. I believe that in reading and studying about David and his descendants, and Solomon especially, he penned most of these at the end of the horizon of his life. You all know about Solomon, how that he prayed for wisdom and God granted that and God was pleased with him and he was obedient unto God and God blessed not only Solomon, but he blessed the king or the kingdom of Israel as well as blessing Solomon. And they grew and they lived in peaceful times and Solomon amassed a great amount of riches. So wealth was not a problem to King Solomon. However, he began to look at these things, at material things and wealth and money and riches and gold and silver, and realized that there was something that was more important than all of the worldly gain that he had during his reign or his kingship. So he begins to write about these things, and he refers to himself as the orator or the congregator or what we would call as the preacher. And basically, the whole chapters of the whole book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon is in fact preaching a sermon. And at the end, he begins to state what every church body that I know of loves to hear. He says, in conclusion, that wakes people up. That gets people ready to go to McDonald's. In conclusion, we bring this message to a close. But here he begins to surmise and bring everything into a format that you and I need to pay attention to. We need to understand in life the things that are really important and the things that are not so important. There are things needful. There are things that makes life easier. There are things that we appreciate, and there's things that we can use, but never, ever let those things take priority over our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is first and foremost the most important thing that you and I can do in this lifetime, and not only us, but pass it on to our generation after us. The subject matter basically compares a person without God to a person who has a relationship with God. On the outside, it may not be that recognizable. In fact, to the world, if they looked at only the outward or the things that these two people had, they might surmise that the one that was without God was more blessed because he had more things. He had more wealth. He had more fame. He had more this. He had more that. When basically he did not have the most important thing, which is a relationship with God. So you can't tell by looking at a person how rich they are or how well off they are. Bible says you can gain the whole world and lose your soul. And then what will it profit a man that have gained all of these things? Notoriety, popularity, being this and being that, being respected, being admired. None of that matters nearly as much as giving our soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know that Jesus died on the cross for each and every one of us? Not only us, each and every one of those that don't even acknowledge him, he died for them as well. Aren't you thankful for the price that Jesus Christ paid on the cross of Calvary that we might, in fact, have a relationship with him? He goes on to write, there is a season for everything. You know the third chapter of Ecclesiastes, how it goes into great detail about the different seasons. How many knows there's more than four? We often talk about the winter and the summer and the spring and the fall, and somebody asks you, now, which one you like? I like them all. When you're my age, you like every one of them. It don't matter if it's hot or cold or whatever. You're just glad to be here. Can I get an amen? They're all good. Amen. But he's talking about more than just the four seasons of weather. He's talking about the growth of our life. And what we do from the day that we are born until the day that we take our last breath. There's a lot of people that have been able to accomplish a lot. Some in a very short lifetime. Others in a long life and a very fruitful life. We read of Jesus Christ, who was only 33 years old. Amen. 33 and a half or a third when he died. But was not allowed unto Jewish custom to preach, began his ministry until he was 30 years of age. And what he did in those 3.5 years was absolutely never be repeated by anybody anywhere in the world today. The exploits of Jesus are great and wonderful and magnificent to read about and thankful that he did die on the cross for us. So he writes, there's a season for everything from our youth unto old age. And he even writes in verse 12, the very first verse, he says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Oh, that we could go back. I've often heard that testimony from gray-haired saints that I was blessed to be raised in church. Come on, it wasn't a burden. It wasn't punishment. I was thankful. I may not have been as thankful then as I am now, but I'm very thankful for my rearing and raising in church. I'm glad I had parents and grandparents that knew the importance of a background in church, worshiping and praising God and hearing the Word of God, and at some time in my life, applying that to my life, coming down to an old-fashioned altar and repenting and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my life as Lord and Savior. If you're thankful for that this morning, then acknowledge that with a hand clap of praise. Aren't we glad for those who paved the way for us? And after describing life's journey, and you can read it, I'm not going to go over every verse and every chapter, but after describing life's journey, he concludes that the most important thing in life, there's a lot of important things in life. There's a lot of good celebrations. There's a lot of happiness. There's a lot of joy. There's a lot of fulfillment in life, and I'm thankful for life. I'm thankful for the breath that God has given me. I'm thankful for the strength to get up off of the bed in the morning, put my weight on my 2 feet, and thank the Lord that he cares for me during that day. There's a lot of things to be thankful for. But the writer here, Solomon, concludes that all of it is vanity of vanities. Nice, enjoyable, sometimes pleasing, but that alone is not sufficient to give our soul a life in the heavens that Jesus Christ has prepared for those that accept Him as Lord and Savior. So he concluded that the most important thing that he or anyone else could do was have a relationship with God. Now you might think that that would be coming from a person who had not amassed much in this life. Someone that didn't have multiple homes or cars or money or, I was going to say, 401ks, but they're not worth anything anymore. Hopefully one day they will be. But those, you would think that it would come from a person who maybe had struggled and maybe had nothing else to rely on except God, to realize that the most important thing in life is to serve God. But it came from a king. It came from a person who had great wealth and fame. Building of Solomon's temple and dedicating it unto the Lord. Many things Saul was able to accumulate. Many things that Saul was able to produce and do constructive things in his lifetime. But he looked at him one day, I believe toward the end of his life, maybe. And he looked and he saw and he began to write that these things are nice. These things have been enjoyable. But there is one thing that outshines each and every one of them. There's one thing that I cannot get along without. There's one thing that may I lose everything else under my name. I can't lose my relationship with God. It is, in fact, the single most thing that matters in my life. And when we know that, and when we realize that, then we can appreciate the things of life, but never let them overshadow our relationship with God. So Solomon writes these things. And then he says the conclusion of the whole matter is to fear God and to keep His commandments. And not only to fear Him, but keep His commandments. Live a life that's pleasing unto the Lord. Have a relationship with Him daily. As I said earlier, not just know Him, but know Him intimately. Not just know about Him, but know Him as your personal Savior. I guess you might say that some of this was personal reflection. Maybe it was just the leadership of God. I hope it was the latter. And I'm getting to an age where I remember a lot of things, but I don't remember what I had for breakfast. You'll get to that age. 30, 40 years ago, clear as a bell. This morning, couldn't find the bell. It happens. And sometimes we reflect. And I'm speaking to an audience this morning of all ages. I have some precious saints of my generation. Baby boomers. Gen X's. All these other names that they call these generations. But I believe Ecclesiastes and the writer Solomon writes to each and every generation and every age group, regardless of what you're involved in, regardless of what is important to you. And God doesn't tell us to neglect everything else. He just tells us to put Him first at the top of the list. And then He'll add these other things. So I believe the Bible here speaks to every age group, every generation. Each and every one of us need to realize and know what matters. There's a little book that I have at home. I love little books. It's those great thick ones that give me problems sometimes. I have a very short attention span. I like to read and get it over with. But it's a little short book and it says, "Don't sweat the small stuff." Have a chance, pick it up and read it. It's encouraging to let us know that there's a lot of things in this life that really doesn't matter, that we are absolutely consumed with. I mean, mean, it just it's on our minds in the morning until we go to bed at night. And when we think about it, and when we measure it against eternity, and when we measure it against what Jesus Christ did on the hill of Golgotha, and the promise that he said, I'm going away to prepare you a place that where I am, you may be also, then really those things don't matter as much as we thought they did. But what does matter is, is our life ready? Are we ready? Have we relinquished our spirit and our soul to Jesus Christ to both be both Lord and Savior of our life? We like the Savior part. Sometimes we have a little problem with the Lord part, but we got to do it both ways. So as I began to reflect many years ago, I'm at the age I can say that now because it was many years ago. You know, as I looked this week and looking through some photographs, and I even sent one to Karen, and it was a little family picture when she was just, I don't know, she might have been a year old, might not, because she started it. She sent a picture of Trey on Facebook with his little mohawk on top. You may have seen it or not. And she was talking about the hair, so I said, I sent it to her, and I said, Trey wasn't the only one that didn't have hair. And she just as bald-headed as she could be when she was born. And you know the response I got back? I was chubby. I don't even think about that. I just think about the bald head and the laughing. But, and begin to reflect, and I begin to look at some other photographs, and it's almost like the pages of my life were flipping before me. And I don't know if you've reached that age yet, but you probably will one of these days, and you'll begin to look back over your life. And I could see Solomon maybe getting to a point where he was reflecting, blessed. Folks, let me tell you something. Society and people spend over half of their percentage more worrying and fussing about things that go wrong rather than rejoicing over the blessings that God has bestowed upon us as a people. Amen. We are very blessed. I know there's problems. I know there's issues. I know everything's not perfect, but we serve a perfect God. Amen. And His Spirit is perfect within us. We ought to talk about the good things that God has done. And I believe Solomon was beginning to realize that and begin to write those things. And I happen to think, in fact, I have this, I call it a painting, actually. I think it is a portrait or a photograph. And many of you may have seen it. It's entitled Grace. Don't know a better title than Grace. How many is thankful for Grace? If it wasn't for Grace, I wouldn't be standing here today. And I'm not talking about a girl's name. I'm talking about the amazing grace of Almighty God. If it wasn't for grace, I would still be lost in sin. If it wasn't for grace, amen, I wouldn't have the pleasure of laying my head on my pillow at night and knowing if I never see another day, I wouldn't make heaven. Because of grace, I know that if I go to sleep in this life, I can wake up in the next because of the amazing grace of Almighty God. But this particular portrait or painting is entitled Grace. And it depicts an elderly person. And I don't want to be offensive here. I love elderly people. In fact, I is one. And I hope you'll love me when I have to stop and ask you for directions to the pulpit, too. But there's a lot of wisdom. There's a lot of geography. There's a lot of history in sitting down and listening to elderly people. And this photograph that's entitled Grace has a picture of a man, an elderly man. You can tell the hair is white, the skin is wrinkled. And he is sitting there, and in this portrait, you have to notice everything because there is a table there. It's almost made to think that it is in a cottage or a house where there's not a whole lot of furniture. Now, whether that be the case or not, I don't know. But the author or the photographer or painter wants you to focus basically on the bare necessities that are in this room. And in this room where this man is sitting, there is a table. And at this table, you may not notice it first. In fact, if you looked at this picture first, you would probably notice what the man is going to eat. But there is very prominent Bible lying on that table. Sometimes we don't focus on that as much as we do what he's about to eat. Now, in my mind, as I saw that Bible, I began to look at it. I began to blow the picture up a little bit, and that Bible did not look new. That Bible looked very, very used. Oh, come on, somebody. I said, that Bible looked like it'd been well broke in. That Bible looked like it might have been read just about every day of that man's life. That Bible looked like that when he had nothing else to look forward to, he had the written word of God. Amen. And it was right there. It was so important to him that he had it to be a part of the table that he was sitting at. And I know that he was like me because his eyeglasses were positioned on top of the Bible. There beside the Bible, there was a bowl. I'm thinking a bowl of Campbell's chicken noodle soup. But evidently this was an older painting. Probably Campbell's wasn't invented then. So it probably some type of soup or broth or pottage or whatever they called it. And there beside it was a utensil, a spoon, and a little piece of bread. And before the soup was partaken of, and before the bread was cut to take, we see the man with his white hair, his aged face wrinkled, and his hands folded as he's asking blessings over the food that he is about to eat. And I looked at that, and in fact, when I was very, very small, that picture or portrait had such an impact on my life, I bought that for mother for a Mother's Day present. Kind of seems like not the appropriate present now, but then I was so overwhelmed by it and looked to have such compassion. You can feel it if you ever know what I'm talking about. If you have one, look at it. If you don't have one, Google it. Google's got everything. They'll show you a picture. But it had such an impact on my life, I thought, this would be a good picture. And I gave it to mother, and mother kept it hanging until she sold her house over there. Now I have it in my upper room. And those of you that know me, I have an upper room. It has saved my marriage. It's been a blessing. I can go there on my own, or I can be sent. Either way, it's a blessing. But it hangs there. And I was looking at it this week, and I began to look in it in greater detail. Very evident to see the things that are there on the table. Very evident to see the man. But I looked at the wrinkles. And I looked at the timelines on the man's face. And I saw the seasons that I believe Solomon was talking about. He knows that we have seasons. We go through seasons in our life. How many knows it's not always a joyride? It's not always peace. But there is peace. And there is joy. But it's also infiltrated with other things that we must endure. And I saw him as he bowed his head and folded his hands. And it was almost like the portrait was more of a video. It was playing out in my mind. And I saw him bow his head. And I believe, this is just my opinion, Brother David, he was thanking God for more than just the bowl of soup and the bread. And maybe he reflected on the scriptures that says, give us this day our daily bread. I don't know if that was all in his house. I don't know what else he had. But I saw something in that picture, that portrait, to let me know that it didn't matter because he depended on God. I believe he had a relationship with God. Let me tell you something. If you got a relationship with God, what you have in the cupboard don't matter near as much or what you have in the meal barrel, because I read a story in the Bible where the woman took what was in the meal barrel, gave it to the man of God, and God just kept replenishing, putting more in the meal barrel, and it didn't run out. That's the type of God that we serve. And it was almost like the wrinkles began to move. And y'all said, man, he's senile now. No, I believe I was just kind of caught up in the spirit as God was speaking to me. He folds his hands and he gives thanks. The white hair and the wrinkled skin depicts a journey through life. A spiritual roadmap, if you would. Maybe in his lifetimes, he had dreams. I remember when I graduated from high school, I had dreams. I gonna get me, actually, I don't know if they still make them, but I gonna get me a El Camino. I was a little bit country and a little bit rock and roll. So I liked the truck and I also liked the car. So I was going to get me an El Camino. And I was going to get me the prettiest little brunette to ride around with me. I hadn't got that Camino yet, and I sure hadn't got that brunette yet. But God's been good. My point is, there's dreams that will be unfulfilled. There's dreams that'll seem like in one part of your season to be so important, and then down the road, they're not nearly as important as you thought they were. Things begin to take precedence and priority. So I saw that in the man's folded hands and his aged face, unfulfilled dreams. Yeah, there were some accomplishments, I am sure of that. He looks like he was able to live to a ripe old age. I've never understood that statement. Does that mean we're not ripe when we're not old age? Have any ever heard that? We live to be a ripe old age. I think I'm ripe. I think I'm past ripe. You ever seen a banana that's... Never mind. And in this picture, Brother Jim, I saw some failures. Listen, somebody told me if you've never failed at anything, you've never accomplished anything. A very profound statement. Some folks never do it because they don't want to try. They're afraid of failure. You look at most of the inventors of today, they failed several times before they were able to have a successful invention. I figured that probably somewhere along life's journey, he was able to experience joy. Yes, there were plenty of sorrow as well. I'm going to share a, I guess you would call it, a cosmetic advice with you. Don't ever be ashamed of the wrinkles on your face or body. Don't ever be ashamed. Because there are the lifelines of your life. There's the little dimples that I have that are so cute. That shows that I had joy. And there's a box right over my eyes, right between my two eyes, that shows I had a lot of failure and a lot of heartache. You can see that little square box a lot of times. But it's lifelines in life's journey. And I'm trying to get a point across. Bear with me. There was some love along the line. There was some pain. There were some struggles, some hardships. There was also some victories along the way. Some celebrations. Some disappointments. Some fear probably even played into the wrinkles of his face. Probably some sickness and at times exhaustion. Very tired body. But all of that was the journey that brought him to the point of where he is now. And in that picture, I don't see heartache and disappointment, although there may have been some along the way. I don't see the pain and the fear and the anxiety that probably every one of us as a human being has suffered at some point in our life. But what I see is a true thankfulness for a relationship with a never-failing God that was with him through all of the pain, all of the unaccomplishments, all of everything that went wrong in his life, as well as there was in the time of celebration and victory. So yes, he was thankful for the food. He was thankful for the soup and the bread. But I think in this prayer, he was so thankful that he realized somewhere in his life what really matters. And I hope and pray that everyone here today has come to that realization of what really matters in our life. Everything else would basically pale in comparison to a relationship with Almighty God. I urge you this morning to make Him first in your life. Many of us just want Him to be a part of our life. But you know, Christ is not willing to just be a part of your life. He wants to be your life. He wants you to center your life around Him. And when you do, you'll understand it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. And you also know the joy doesn't end here. I said, we're just beginning. The joy that we have here is going to be exceeded when we get to heaven. There'll be no sickness there. There'll be no sorrow there. There'll be no pain there. Thank God there'll be no more death, no more dying in heaven when we get to that glorious place. And now he reflects as he prays. All that really matters is the grace of God and my relationship with Him. Solomon's father, David, wrote in the 37th chapter and the 25th verse. You know it by heart. I have been young and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Only you and God know the condition of your soul. I hope and pray that there's not an unsaved person in this house. I'm not a judge. God never called me to be a judge. I wouldn't even qualify to be a judge. I am a messenger. I looked up the word preacher. Basic, or minister. Basically, it means servant, one who attends to the needs of others. And right now, our greatest need is not financial independence. It's not bigger, better, more. But it's a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? And it won't cost you a penny. Because He paid the price. I said He paid the price with His life and with His shed blood. In conclusion, would you stand? Every head bowed, please, every eye closed. Every saint of God praying. Reverence in the Holy Spirit that is in this place and the convicting power of the Holy Ghost. I know Satan's telling you right now, you don't need to go up. That's embarrassing. No, that's the greatest thing you could ever do. Is forget who's looking. Forget what other people can't think or talk or say about you. Because you're coming down and in the balance is your soul. Where your soul is going to spend eternity. In a place, a glorious place provided by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Or a place that you're not even intended to go there. You'll go there as an intruder. The Bible says hell was not meant for us. Please. If not today, sometime in the very, very near future, come to an open repentance, a contrite spirit, and ask Jesus Christ to come into your life. While no one is looking, while everyone is still praying and every head bowed, is there one that would come this morning? Maybe you are saved and you just want to rededicate your life to the Lord. That's all right, too. That's a wonderful place to come. Maybe if you've just grown a little cold and you just want to stir up that fire and that spirit that the Lord filled you with, this is a good place to come. Some of you elders come and gather around these that are coming to the altar. I want you to pray with them as you pray for them. We know that God can provide every need that we have this morning. Is there coming if you have a need from God this morning? Healing, whatever the case may be, would you come in? Down to this altar too. We'll pray with you as well. Church, would you bow your heads and pray for these that are in the altar?
God is one person described it. We're not the light. You are the light. We're just the light of God.
Yes.
Father, we dedicate our house to you. Father, let your light shine to our mind. Let your light shine right now through Brother Gabe. God, that he may lead right now. Lord, the heavenly King. God, that he may be that person.
Yes.
That people will look to you. God, and I pray, Lord, that he would reach out to a lost and dying world. God, let that light shine in his word. God, his relationships, his friendship, God, let that light, the Holy Ghost, shine.
Lord. Amen. Give Him praise.
Words of that song, through it all. And that's where we've got to place every situation in God's hands. For the things that matter, for the things that's coming against us, we're just going to place it in God's hands. In our walk, in our joy, in our peace, and also through the storms. Praise God. Praise the Lord. All hearts and minds clear. Praise God. Well, I was asked to announce, too, that Ida Bell will be meeting Tuesday night, ladies. 6:30 over in the Curtis Center. If you haven't been, it's a wonderful time, a wonderful ministry. Keep each and every one of them in their prayers for all the work that they're doing and all the other ministries going forth. But as we get ready, I'm going to invite each and every one of you to service tonight. We just love you. If you have an opportunity, be in much prayer for our service tonight. Be in much prayer for every service. We're so blessed. And I humbly say this to each and every one of you, how much we love you, and we thank you for your prayers, and we thank you for all that you're doing for the Lord. Be those vessels that His light can shine through. Praise God. All hearts and minds clear. All righty, well, with this prayer, we're going to be dismissed. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word, dear Lord. We thank you, dear Lord, for your love for us, dear Lord, that even when we feel so unlovable, dear Lord, you loved us first. And, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for each and every one here this morning. Lord, we ask you to bless each and every situation, dear Lord, that we know the prayer has been brought forth. Lord, we know that your healing is working right now, dear Lord, and that you're mending and making whole. Lord, for those prayer requests that are put on the online page today, for those that are watching, dear Lord, let them feel your presence also for our nursery and children's church. Dear Lord, we just praise you. And, Lord, we give you all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen, amen. Have a wonderful afternoon. Praise God. Hallelujah.